You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, the great Phoebe has entered the building. Fiona Byrne, the entertainment reporter, not the gossip columnist, the entertainment reporter from the Sunday Herald Sun, she's in, and people love Phoebe. We do, because she speaks articulately. Articulate she is into the microphone. She's got good technique, as opposed to Don, who eats and drinks and burps and does everything, puts his hand over his mouth. So she is a breath of fresh air. Now, Phoebe, we'll get on to some topics that you might want to just move away when we discuss them, but this one we're going to discuss. I said the most greatest sporting event I've seen this year happened, and it got very little coverage. And if you've heard of Shane Van Gisbergen, he is a V8 supercar driver.
He won his first up in Detroit or somewhere, wasn't it? Chicago. First attempt at NASCAR?
Yes, Don.
Okay. Well, do you reckon that's a big deal, do you?
Well, just let me say this is
I
only...
I saw it.
This is only one... You must have been lucky to see it, because it wasn't given any recognition. This is one man's opinion. This is mine. You don't understand the gravity of how good that was. He is a supercar driver here in Australia. He's a New Zealander, but he claims... Well, he doesn't claim to be an Australian. Of course he doesn't, but he gets all his notoriety by doing the V8s scene here in Australia. He went over to Chicago, the street circuit. He very little experience driving a left-hand drive car, very little experience changing gears with your right hand, very little experience with the car itself, and he blew them out of the water.
Exactly.
It was absolutely... I watched the whole thing.
Oh, did you?
I did.
Did he start on pole?
He started third.
They
thought that was...
Hang on. Three back or second line?
Second line.
He was third. There was two people ahead of him.
Okay. Well, he still had to get around two people.
No, Don. This goes for 2 hours. It was raining. It was wet.
I understand, but he started third on the grid, which means two were in front of him. So
yes, they all slid off. He got down. He was down at 15th at one stage with about 20.
No, not like the skater over in.
Yeah,
what was his name?
Not like
Shane
him.
Bradbury.
Yeah, Bradbury. No, not like him, Don.
Stevenry.
Not like him at all. This is knowing how to drive the car and knowing its limitations. The others, he slowly came from 15th to 12th to 10th, and it was absolutely fantastic. And the Americans, who'd given him very little coverage at all, they call him SVG, that was his brand, Shane Van Gisbergen. And when he started to reel them in, they said they couldn't believe how good he was. And I had hair standing up on the back of him, and it was the best sporting event I've seen this year and the best car race of any I've ever seen. It was 10th page in the Herald Sun. I don't know about what the Age did, but... seriously, while they were talking about Essendon bloke Ruckman having an injured finger and that occupied the last three pages in the paper, they put this back 10th. This should have been on the front page. It was fantastic. It was a great sporting moment. We'll claim him as an Australian. No, we won't.
Why?
We won't. But they said, they mentioned Australia and New Zealand as being great sporting countries and all that. And I was so proud, Don. He was fantastic, and the Americans just couldn't believe it. Best ever. And if you get a chance to watch it, you won't watch it, I know, but Shane Van Gisbergen, fantastic. So
is that the first time he drove the car on the left-hand side?
Yes, speaking to them.
Yes, was that the first time he drove the car?
Well, I just did say he drives a right-hand drive V8 over here. He's had very little experience driving a left-hand drive car and also changing gears with your right hand. That's quite That's quite difficult to do if you've just been brought. Go on, Mick. I've got sure there's a gem coming here. We'll just get the applause. Go on, what? Come up closer to the fucking microphone.
The Ayatollah's been driving from the left-hand side of the car for years.
He's a backseat driver. Don't tell us
he's got. He's got a repertoire. He's got them all written down. I mean, I reckon he just peels them. Yeah.
So that was that. So
Sam, just on that point, the interesting thing will be whether or not he moves over there next year once he finishes his contract. He's got one more year on his contract here with 888, doesn't he?
Yep.
And so it'll be interesting to see if in 2025 he moves full-time into the US market.
After the event, he said he was going to move across.
Did you hear about this or did you see
it? No, I heard about it.
I watched it. It was absolutely fantastic. I tell you, they hang their hat on NASCAR over there and they are serious.
But hang on, that wasn't NASCAR. That was street racing, wasn't it?
NASCAR, it doesn't only go around in a circle. They do street races.
Oh, do they?
What?
The car.
Oh, they're Toyotas, Chevys.
But they're a different car, aren't they?
Toyotas, Chevys, Fords. That's the three of them.
But they're a different...
Well, the first five cars at least that won it were all Chevys.
Are you sure Van Gisbergen was driving a Chevy? I thought he was driving a Mustang.
I'm sure. No, good. It was a Chevy.
Are you? Well, there you are.
But they're different cars altogether.
They're silhouette cars. That means they're in the shape of a...
Aren't the wheels or the suspension different to the the ones that go around the circle?
I'm going... No. Well, of course they are. Yeah,
it's kind of banked.
Yes, they tune them and tailor them and tweak them for the various...
Manufacture them, yeah.
But they're silhouette cars. They just look like the road cars, but they bear no resemblance at all. They're actually works of art.
Aren't the cars here the same? Silhouette cars?
Yeah, silhouette cars. They bear no resemblance to the car you drive on the road.
No.
They just look like them.
Yeah,
but that's the manufacturers hang their hats on their brand. I'm not sure he was driving a Chevy, but you would know, right, Ivan.
I might.
Anyhow, he was absolutely brilliant, and so going from the sublime to the ridiculous, Don. Now I don't know who, what this government thinks we are, or they must think we are stupid, or really just peasants. I've never seen a more cynical political disgrace than even condescending to try and fool the Victorian public by making Brett Sutton either the Victorian... That didn't make him the Australian of the Year.
No, Victorian of the Year.
The Victorian of the Year. This man lied.
He lied
about iCook Foods. Put them out of
business. Don't worry about iCook Foods. What about all the small businesses through COVID? Where we used to go down the road here for a coffee.
Don.
He put him right out of... And he was one of many, our coffee man.
How they would have the audacity...
It's not a government appointment. It's not a government-run award.
Well, why was Brumby doing the presentation?
Just a minute. Phoebe, thank you. Go on.
It's an organisation that presents this. It's not a government.
Yeah, who presents it?
I'm calling it up while we're chatting. You continue, right-o. But I'm calling it up.
And the other thing, do
this
you know that...
under the pressure from the government so that he doesn't have to. They give him credibility that he's a great upstanding citizen so that he won't have to, or if he is called to
and
the
iCook
Food... If he is called to the iCook Food investigation, he will have a bit of he hopes and the government...
No, he's immune from that.
Well, you couldn't be.
I'm telling you, he is. He does because of his. I couldn't believe this. Because of this new appointment, he doesn't have to front that inquiry.
It's the most cynical, dishonest, corrupt appointment for political gain or political
outgoing
political
chief,
advantage.
Outgoing Chief Health Officer Brett Sutton to sidestep Sluggate legal row. Brett Cutton was hit with a new Sluggate allegation just before his resignation, with his department allowing the outgoing health officer to avoid
Yes, well, Phoebe...
The witness box.
Phoebe adds some facts to our... adds some credibility to what we say, or okay, lack so, of credibility.
Well, yes, I just want to make it very clear that this award that was presented to Brett Sutton was not presented by the Victorian government. It was presented by the Victoria Day Council.
And
the Victoria Day Council is an independent, non-political organisation.
Oh, come on.
You can laugh, but you can't say that it's a government appointment.
Absolutely, I can say. That's how they take us for idiots. You're not serious that there be an independent body of people who
I think
make
you're
Brett
just being,
Sutton
I think
Victorian
you're simply being a conspiracy theorist, and I think you hate certain people and just can't get off that bandwagon.
That's a fair comment.
You're allowed to, Don, you can say that you don't agree, but you can't claim that it's an appointment made by people who didn't make the appointment.
What do you mean by that?
It would be
you're sitting there whinging about, oh, you know, it's a government appointment. It's not a government body that's selected him as the winner.
The government dream. Infiltrated.
Oh,
influenced. They would be influenced. It would be a political appointment. That's our opinion. You're very, very good to...
But it's not only that. You wonder what credibility is given to all these different things, IBAC and ICAC and whatever else.
It's
what about Glenys Berejiklian, who we all feel sorry for in the relationship or the way it's been portrayed, but she's just as corrupt and was knowledgeable of what the boyfriend was doing. He is going to be charged and she is off free.
Why would you change the topic? Why would he accept the award? He knows it's just a sham.
He apologised.
It's a sham.
He apologised for what he put Victorians through.
It's his decision to accept an award. If he wants to accept it, you know, good on him. If he doesn't, fine. He could say, look, thank you, but no thank you.
Cynical political appointment. But the voice of reason. The voice of reason from Phoebe. This is why
Who was running that COVID thing? Was it Andrew Sutton or... What was that other fellow's name? Jerome, whatever his name is. That fellow's now heading up the Commonwealth Games. Do you know the Victorian Commonwealth Games? He's heading that up. Jerome Wymer.
Corrupt sham. What we're living under here, Phoebe.
It's an insult to our intelligence, this government.
So Phoebe says, well, why don't you move to Queensland? Well, why?
Would you move to Queensland? She's just as bad.
Now, hang on a minute.
She's worse.
Why do you have to scarper away from the place you've grown up in because there's got a corrupt government in charge temporarily?
The only reason you go to Queensland is to get out of our winter.
They could permanently be in charge.
I just want to go, you're talking about Gladys, Don.
Yes.
Well, I am not going to talk about you've already covered the issue of her being found to have been...
not
corrupt
guilty or whatever.
Complicit. Thank you. That's a good word, Sam. I just want to make a general comment about those text messages. Those text messages that were released between her and her horrible ex-boyfriend. I found that just honestly, what a great example of not putting things in writing. If you want to have a conversation with someone, pick up the phone. I just looked at that and I thought, how humiliating.
Hang on, pick up the phone. What do you mean?
Well, there's obviously...
You mean don't commit yourself to writing?
No, I'm just saying, you know, if you're having a... I think we've moved into an era where privacy doesn't exist anymore. And I just found it so horrifying to read a very personal conversation between her and, as I said, her horrible ex-boyfriend.
On text?
Text messages.
Yeah, but there was also a recording too, a telephone conversation, or they were taped in conversation.
I just felt, me feel sick.
When I speak to you, Phoebe, I never know if you're recording anything I
speak. I always say to you, if I'm speaking to you for the purpose of media reporting, I'm always very clear that we are on the record.
Yeah, but can you trusted?
Oh, you make it clear, do you?
I do. Of course I do.
Oh, of course she does, Don.
I do. You know I do.
I know you do. That's why I speak to you. And
I do that with people that I chat to because sometimes I'm talking to people who I know well and I think it's important to make it very clear that at this point in the conversation, okay, I'm taking notes from this point because
you lull people into a false sense of security on the phone. You're very, very good at it. You need to be very transparent. No, you're very good
at it.
You lull me into so much.
Phoebe, I've got a proposition.
I tell you so much.
Don and I about your horses, about falling off your horses, about the horses not jumping, about the horses needing shoes, the bus to Mount Gambier.
She's let something go that you spoke to her in confidence. Good.
She never gives me any
about
gossip.
The hay, about the grass, about the horses eating too much grass.
Now, Phoebe, we've got a proposition for you, Don and I.
Oh, dear, yes.
Oh, we're going to. Yes, we have, Don. We've got a man coming in here.
Oh, no. Actually, I'm not accepting the proposition. No, you better
leave, Fiona. Fiona, she's going. Thank you.
Oh, hang on a minute.
We've got to protect her.
You don't even know what I'm going to say.
Yes, you're talking about the swingers bloke.
The bloke who runs a swingers club is coming in, and there's a whole list of conditions that you have to qualify to be a swinger. You can go with a man. There's a whole lot of conditions to join the club.
Oh, okay.
There is men, there's male, female, male nights scheduled, and you can only go, the two males can go with a female.
Okay, well, let's just keep it for the interview. Don't do it
well,
now.
Well, I'm going to say, for research purposes, could Phoebe and you and I go along under the male, female, male part of it and just see what the swingers club's about?
Can you give
about?
Me an accreditation, a reporter's accreditation?
Would you come with us to the swingers club, Phoebe?
Can I?
You might see a lot of people you know there.
Oh, God.
Anyway, we're going to ask him.
Now, listen, do you realise, here's a story that's...
go on.
Taxi scams. Now, actually, can I
stop, Don. I'll tell you a story about... So I haven't been to a swingers club and I'm not quite sure I'm going to accept your invitation to join you at one. But I have been to the Adult Industry Awards, which was an eye-opening evening, which I attended.
You put us on to Del Toro.
You've been to many of them, Fiona.
I have actually been to...
been good to quite a few.
I have been to the
Does
Adult Industry Awards a couple of times. No, I find it absolutely fascinating, though.
Why would you attend that?
So she writes columns about it.
It's a business. It's a business
an
sector.
An industry.
It's an industry. And
what was that little girl's name that came here that was Miss...
Isabel Del Toro.
Isabel Del Toro. What a star. You manhandled her... She didn't mind.
But every
most
woman that comes in gets manhandled by
you.
Me.
You quite, almost undress her.
Oh, do you want me to?
No,
Fiona?
Thank you. No.
Oh, she's. I thought you were jealous.
What a sweetheart she was. She took it from every person that's ever stood up.
You didn't know back. You didn't. You know
what?
I felt
what
a bit.
What, Don? So go ahead, Phoebe. Sorry, go ahead.
Hello. Yes.
The Sexpo.
Yes.
That the one you were referring to before. Because they don't. Say that name anymore, do they? They call it something else.
Adult Entertainment Awards.
No. They do still call that Sexpo. So I've covered Sexpo before.
What
and
about it?
Well, it was just an interesting evening because, you know, people sort of have an idea of it being, you know, a wild free-for-all. And I have to say that may happen afterwards, but certainly for the portion of the evening that's all about acknowledging the best in their field, it's quite straightforward and quite, you know, it's quite a glamorous
done.
And professionally done evening.
And so what happens after the award? You said it's
well,
a free-for-all.
Well, I went home.
You said it was a free-for-all.
No, I didn't. I did not say that. I said I don't know what – it may end up being a little, you know, much
– What, free-for-all?
A little more sort of, you know, involved afterwards. But I left after the awards had been handed out. But it was a very interesting – I guess it's interesting to sort of see how that particular part of
what the best receptionist award at a brothel, I suppose.
What?
Everything from that
upwards.
Yeah,
well, they'd have the best receptionist at a brothel.
Yes, they do. They did have
that. Do they?
Yes.
I won't. You heard my experience with the brothel in the last 2 weeks. You couldn't make that up. So Phoebe, you won't be coming along to... Would you stay for the interview with this man?
Yes, I will.
Oh,
yes.
Good. Now, I want to ask you all this. A man carved his name of him and his girlfriend into the stone wall of the Colosseum. Put his initials into the...
Yeah, that's vandalism.
And he was arrested.
Yeah, I did that.
He was arrested.
Yep.
And is with a threat of jail and a huge fine.
Yep, good.
You know, people carve their names on trees and things.
No, good.
And I was just saying, do you think that's warranted or it's smashing a nut with a hammer?
No,
over.
I'm I'm against vandalism in any shape or form. I went to the football on Saturday and travelled on the Sandringham line. The graffiti is simply unbelievable on the side of residential homes, their fences, on factories in Richmond. How these people get to these positions on factories in Richmond is just beyond me. When do they do it? And surely they are seen actually painting. These are not a 5-minute spray jobs. I don't call them works of art.
They're not tagging, it is graffiti.
Well, they're doing the whole side of buildings. Yes, and I can't even read the writing. I don't know what the reference is or what the importance of it is.
Yes, Mick?
The initials were carved in at the...
Yes.
At the ruins, was that right?
In the Colosseum, on the Colosseum, wall of the...
My introduction to Rome, I got there on a Sunday afternoon. I was having a bit of a sleep. And because I travelled for a while and I could hear all this commotion outside. And fair thinking, there must have been about 500, I was going to say, I can't say, Italians.
What were you going to call them?
Well, I usually call them.
What?
Wogs.
Yes.
They're Italians, Mick.
West Oriental gentlemen. Anyway, they were all cheering and shouting. I thought, what's going on? And there were two people shagging down in the ruins. In the ruins on a Sunday
afternoon. What, they were putting on an exhibition?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So what did you do? Go down and have a look?
Well, I'll tell you what.
Is there a punchline?
I reckon he would have left his initials.
Mick thought there was
a... rocks.
What?
Don't you?
No, we missed that. Another gem.
Oh, was it? He's pretty subtle, Mick, isn't he? I've really got to be...
subtle as an anvil in the balls.
No.
So we all agree that the man should be taken and dealt with severely.
Which man?
Not the man who carved his initials.
Yeah, but what about doing something in Melbourne, cleaning Melbourne up with this all that graffiti and shit?
Well, we've been on that for
years. It's a disgrace.
Years.
How did Australia Melbourne become what, the livable city of the world? That is bullshit.
So you know how there's this big drive. Here's the next topic, Don. You know, and Ivan, and Paul, and Mick, and Phoebe. You know how there's this big drive to get rid of fossil fuels and... get into clean, renewable energy, windmills and solar and hydro and all that sort of stuff, and batteries and electric cars. Sweden, the leader of, the most neutral country in the world, they have abandoned their push for renewable energy. They say because the country just cannot sustain its power and its industry, and they are now opting for... more gas, more fossil fuel power stations and nuclear power stations because they just can't function under this nonsense that is renewable energy. So people can glue themselves to the road and throw food at the paintings in art galleries because they want to get rid of fossil fuels. But if you want your standard of living to remain just as it is, if you can afford to heat your house or drive your car, if you want to be able to do that, there is no other option. Renewable energy is a thing of well into the future.
Have you paid your electricity bill recently? I paid mine yesterday or the day before. It was $500 for the quarter. Now, I thought at the start of the year, prices are going up, so I went out and got wood. I just loaded up with wood for heating. I've got a Canara. I've used the air conditioner split system 3 times. My bill has gone up 75% last year.
And you can sheet that home to the fact that we're getting rid of coal-fired power stations. We're trying to find new ways to create energy. And the people who put all these policies into operation, the social elites, it doesn't worry them. It's the rank and file who they're meant to look after, but don't. It's the rank and file and the pensioners and the people who just can't afford it, with inflation going up and costs going up and taxes going up and land tax, and they're trying to placate the vocal vole, they're rodents, the vocal people, the pests, who actually push all this nonsense, and it's crap.
Fiona, Don, do you travel by taxi at all?
Occasionally.
occasionally.
I prefer to use a taxi over Uber.
1-3 cabs?
Yes, now, I do use 1-3 cabs.
I do too.
Now, I want to bring up, and I don't know whether you, but I've had two people in the last 2 weeks have said about what's happening in the taxi industry. Apparently, you get into cabs and you want to go somewhere and they say, oh, well, that's X amount, which is an inflated price. Well, in this case, a person came in from Richmond to the Crown Casino, $30. It was off the meter. They don't have to go on the meter. So to get the return fare, the person went to the rank at Crown and went back. It was $50 for the same trip. Now, there was a kerfuffle about that, so they finished up getting the next cab. Now, a friend the other day did the same at Flinders Street, wanting to go to Hampton, $70-odd, the quote. The bloke didn't put down, or he hasn't got a meter. His cab is yellow, but all the signage has been taken off. He's got a number plate on the back which says something about credited taxi. That was phoned in. They've got no record of that particular number. So I just wonder how many people in the taxi industry are rorting the system in Victoria. I would say a lot are doing it.
Well, I took a... You'll know where this is. The MCG to Docklands in a taxi. And the guy wanted $50. Flat fare, $50. That's normally a $20 at the most. But that's what they're asking for now, just flat out fee.
And this man, the fellow that took the photographs, I looked at the cabbie, there is no, as far as presentation, he's in bloody street clothes, a hoodie and whatever else. They don't wear, this is how long I've done, you know, they used to be presentable, present themselves with either a collar or tie or whatever else.
Don,
it's just
can
a
I,
sham.
I would suggest if people would like to use cabs, book the cab via the 1300 app.
But if you're on a ranked, I'm talking about ranked. All these instances have happened at Crown where there's a rank, at Flinders Street Station where there's a rank. So you
go
to the first
cabs written
you
on
go,
it?
No, it didn't.
Well, then don't get in them.
Yes, but it's on the first cab on the rank.
Well, you say, I don't want to get in it.
Well, this is what
well,
did
there
happen.
There should be someone policing it.
This is what did happen. He got into the next cab down. But this has happened on two ranks.
I prefer...
And Ivan's
book,
just mentioned about
go.
Going from
book,
the MCG.
Book through the app and, as Sam says, get into a car that's got the correct branding on it.
But you get intimidated if you're on a rank.
Don't get intimidated.
As the saying goes, if that is the next cab off the rank, the one that has got all the bogus markings or not, hasn't got 1-3 cab, and say, no, I don't want to get in this one. And you say to the bloke who's telling you to get into it, say, no, I want to get into that one with 1-3 cabs
and
on.
And the
it.
Other thing is you do have the opportunity if you are in a vehicle that, and it's the same with Uber actually, if you're getting service that is not acceptable, you can make complaints. And
well,
people
these
should
days
do
they
that.
Rang up, they rang up about this particular one with the number plate and they had no record of the number plate.
Well, why did they get in the car in the first place?
No,
because it was number one on the rank. He then got out and got into the second cab and in the way through took photographs, which he has sent to me. I've got them on record. And they rang through the number and it's not valid.
So he didn't get into the front cab?
No, got into the second one.
Which
then,
had 1-3 cabs on it.
Which was correctly marked. The one in the front... The signage had been taken off. You could actually see where the signage was. And in black italic writing, it just had taxi.
Well, the people on the cabaret organising it at the Crown should
But
only
this
let...
is also at Flinders Street.
Well, Don, then here's a way to solve it. Rather than just saying, oh, this happened, send the photos to the police. I don't know. Do something like that, but to make people aware.
Yeah, but
that
people, there's a regulatory body should be controlling and understanding what's going on or be aware of the situation.
Right.
The other one that's amazed me too, and I heard this, you know, the tunnel. They've stopped the work going on out towards the airport. And the workers in the tunnel, they're talking about the blowouts. It's not going to be finished till, I don't know, 2027 and the prices are...
What you said?
The
say
workers
that,
are going slow because they haven't not promised any more work and they're now starting
did you just,
to go
I'm
slow.
I'm sorry, speaking to... Did you mention the tunnel in? Did
he
you
mentioned
mention,
the tunnel.
Have a listen to this. I know you know this.
You didn't listen to anything I said about the tunnel.
I just said I was speaking to Phoebe. Did you mention the tunnel?
Of course I mentioned the tunnel. Well, you don't want to take it any further about the workers.
I do.
Talk about go shifts. They're also doing go slows to string the work out.
Don, I do want to... I'm cognizant of what you said, Don, now, because you've explained it. I was going to mention... They are 3 years, and have ever listened to this? They're 3 years behind schedule. And have a guess what they're over budget.
Millions.
Hang on. $4.5 billion over budget. How can a...
get it from China.
Because they're bureaucrats. They don't know how they're working. I just told you how they're doing a go slow.
How could a government give a contract out and be $4.5 billion over... If ever a government should be run out of office, it's for that reason, along with iCook Foods. Phoebe, please.
I just want to change the subject.
On corruption.
I'm changing the subject.
Phoebe can't speak about corruption.
Why?
Because she can't get involved politically in her work area.
I actually wanted to bring up the rather... I wanted to bring this back up off the top of... off the back of the Shane Van Ginsburg topic.
Shane Van Gisberger.
Thank you.
Gerbergen.
Now,
Bergen.
He's a young man, as you say, from sort of, you know, we sort of semi-claim him as an Australian, doing well in America. Another Australian has done well in America in the past few days, fellow by the name of James Webb. Have you heard of James Webb?
No, I haven't. Embarrassed to say I haven't.
He doesn't have a
telescope, does he?
You may not know. He's a competitive hot dog eater. And he has come third.
Is he big?
In the 4th of July hot dog eating competition.
Is he a big man, Fiona?
He doesn't look to be overly...
Who else were the contestants, Fee?
Well, predominantly Americans.
Yeah. And there's a very famous guy. I think he's...
Joey Chestnut. Is that the fellow you're talking about? Yes. Joey Chestnut won.
How many did he eat?
These are hot dogs, which I think this is kind of disgusting, to be honest with you.
In the roll?
I believe in the roll.
They dunk them in the... Okay,
so how many did... Is there a time-specified time?
He came third. He ate 47 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
How long? 10 minutes?
47 hot dogs in 10 minutes. But this fellow, who is apparently a professional American competitive eater by the name of Joey Chestnut, ate 62 hot dogs in 10 minutes to win the competition.
God. And he'd be a bit tight in the purse at the end of it, wouldn't he?
I think he'd just be throwing up.
Would have given the crapper a nice touch up.
I mean, God, how
they would have taken him straight to the crapper. He would have blown the bowl out.
They gave hot dogs out at the MCG on Sunday.
Not that I'm aware of.
They gave hot dogs out at the MCG on Sunday. That was a good promotion by Don.
Did they have any girls eating?
Is Don is good?
Yeah.
What's that, Mick?
What do you say, Phoebe?
No, I'm...
What do you say, Mick?
I was asking, did they have a female hot dog eating competition?
Was there any females in it?
Not that I'm aware of. There you are. There's a photo of James Webb with his hot dogs.
Was there any females?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't know.
I know where Mick's going. It would be interesting to
see. We all know where Mick's going.
Interesting to see a woman devouring 48.
He's half right. There is a very famous female.
Now, have you ever seen the chili championships, the chili eating hot chilies?
I remember when you went through your chili eating phase.
We did a chili eating thing on the footy show, and Bill Brownless actually almost collapsed, and I couldn't speak and had tears come out of eyes. And there's a bloke in the audience after, because we did questions, he said, you put that on, didn't you? And I said, yeah. Come down here, mate. So we got the chilies from out the back. They were just out the back there. And I said, you reckon we put it on? Well, yeah, all right, we put it on. Eat that. So he said he ate it. Now, you think I'm making this up? He, in 5 minutes, almost had a coronary. They took him out the back where the makeup room is. They lay him down there. They called the ambulance. They got pints of milk for him to drink. He was actually nearly died. And... eventually, when he could speak, I think Bill or I or someone said, how are we going? You reckon we made that up? He said, I apologise. He was... So you want to see the chili eating championships. That is something else. I know the hot dogs, Mick. I know the hot dogs, and not a lot. I'd like to see a woman.
Tell that joke. Did I read in your newspaper where since the introduction of speed cameras in Victoria, it's had absolutely no impact on the road toll?
I don't know if you read that in my paper.
Has gone up since the introduction of speed cameras.
Well, hang on. The speed cameras are only there as a revenue-raising thing for the state government, and it's an absolute disgrace the way they are running this. They could not. Their bloody bureaucrats have never run a business, the bureaucrats as well as the politicians, and now, have a guess who's paying the debt? We are.
What about all the speed humps on the road to slow you down?
What about the cameras now for all the various things?
Seatbelts,
they put the cameras. They've got the cameras now for people on the phone. I'd like to bring up, why are you allowed to drink a coffee in the car?
You're not.
I think you are because I saw coppers getting in the car with cups of coffee.
You are not allowed to drink.
Well,
if you're
saw
driving,
police getting in the car with cups of coffee.
I'm telling you, you can Google. You're not allowed to drink coffee or anything.
Okay. And how do you change the car radio in the car?
I beg your pardon, Don?
Radio, car.
With the push button.
Well, what's the difference between that and hitting the mobile phone?
Well, Don, I think it's just, you're just being pernickety.
I'm holding
a phone up to your ear and then looking at it to looking at it to dial the number. And looking at texts and texting while you're driving is a lot different from glancing down to change the preset stations on your radio.
Mm.
I would suggest it's illegal to drink coffee in your car, isn't it?
No, I'm going to read this out.
Right,
while it's illegal,
this is Ivan.
Yeah, while it's illegal to drink alcohol while driving in Australia, no matter whether you're under the limit or over the limit, Australia has no specific laws for eating or drinking non-alcoholic beverages while driving. Although it says up here, if it affects your concentration, that's where they'll ping you.
Do you know you can't ride a horse if you're drunk?
Yep.
Yes, you can't ride a bike if you're drunk.
You know who got pulled up and lost his licence for riding a bike when he was pissed? Len Thompson.
Tomo.
The late Len Thompson.
The motorbike or push bike?
Push bike. The late Len Thompson was riding his bike back from the Toorak Hotel, and he got pulled up by the police, and he'd had a shitload of drinks, and he said, I know this is a fact. And the copper said to him, he pulled up, he said, have you had a drink? He said, I've had 1,000 drinks. And he lost his license.
You don't need a license to ride your bike.
You're not allowed to ride a horse or drive a horse, ride a horse drunk. He got pulled up on his push bike and he said, I've had 1,000 drinks. And they said, thank you. And they
tell me about these scooters. I've only been to the city a couple of times in the low, not very often. What about these scooters? Do you need a license for them? They zip around the road. On the footpaths.
That'll be the next thing.
What?
You'll need a you don't need a licence.
You don't?
No.
They shouldn't be on the road the way they carry on. They are dangerous. And also, talking about corruption, can I bring up something else that seemed to slip through? James Molino, former Deputy Premier. What's up, Fiona?
I've just got to pop upstairs to take a call. Sorry.
Is this getting too hot for you, James Molino?
No, I've got a 10 o'clock interview that I forgot about.
Very good, Phoebe. I think you've seen her off, Don, by bringing politics into it again.
Yes.
She's got to come in, drift in and out. When the topics are okay, she's okay, and when they're not, she has to leave.
No.
Go on, you're going to bag Molino, are you?
I am.
Is he giving you the money for the Hawthorn Football
He's
Club
He's given
yet?
$15 million. Well, $15 million, but I wonder whether that has been paid or is it over the drip system, $2 million a year for 7 years or whatever it is. But he's just been appointed chairman of the Loop Railway. There's a, you know, Andrews has got this idea of putting a railway from, say, the beach bayside, Sandringham, up through Chadstone, the eastern suburbs, and connecting on somewhere. The Loop Railway. Now, was Molino given this, say, if you retire from Parliament so we can get Jacinta Allen as Deputy Premier, we'll give you this job.
Oh, you
now
wouldn't.
Hang on, I haven't finished. And at the moment, Molino is away on 3 months' leave overseas. He's on the Hawthorn board, and the Hawthorn Football Club are negotiating with this Loop Railway for the purchase of land at Dingley, which they own. Oh. Now, is there
conflict
a real
of interest.
Conflict from a taxpayer's viewpoint? And it's slipped right through, and also from the Hawthorn Football Club. He is privy, and has been for a long time about the negotiations and aware of the negotiations of the state government, and now he's chairman of that particular organisation that's trying to buy the land off the Hawthorn Football Club.
You wouldn't think the state government are involved in corruption and shady deals, would you?
Bloody Don.
They've hung their hat on it.
And he's out at Hawthorn on the board. Well, he's not on the board because he's overseas and has been, and he's taken three to 4 months off when the football season's on. He's swanning around in Europe.
Yeah. It's discreet.
So the taxpayer should be aware of what's going on, as well as the members at Hawthorn Football Club, because you wonder what type of deal's going to be done.
You do, Don. Now, I've got this...
Can we talk about football?
We will. Just Paul Brady brought this in. Remember, he's the policeman, ex-policeman who was helping...
I Cook Foods.
He's brought in this... there's a T-shirt they bought out, and it's about, say... Say no to anal. Now, before you think that means something else, that means say no to Anthony Albanese. That's a vote no for the Voice. And, of course, everyone should vote no for the Voice because it's a divisive, racist
Just
document.
I want information about the Voice.
You're not getting it because
There's somebody supposed to be coming out in the next few days with what the Voice is about.
If you want to have this country have to delve into
every... Yeah, but you don't know what you're talking about because I read out what the
ambered claims of the people who were constructing the Voice was last week.
Yeah, but that was something you thought was put in some restaurant or found.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's been verified.
But what's irritating me too about this Voice is the amount of money they're spending on for the people pushing it through, yet the negative case doesn't get the same amount of money.
Well, we're giving
it. The sports people that have got involved in the personalities, they must know something that I do not know.
The sports people, they're stepping
Dummies.
Away from the sports people. They just want the rank and file now. They think... So
what rank and file?
They want the general people to say you vote yes. They don't want to be bludgeoned by stars of...
Who don't want to be?
The people pushing the yes vote have dissociated themselves from the sports stars advocating the yes vote. They say it's... they want just normal people to say it. Well, we're saying the opposite. Vote no for it. It's a ridiculous document. It is just dividing Australia. I'll go on to
I think it's an interesting exercise in society because I'm going on record to say I reckon the baby boomers, our generation, will vote no. And I reckon the younger generation will vote yes. So it's going to be a battle between the two generations.
Can I just mention this?
Brainwashed.
Because I don't think anyone's really spoken about this. You need the majority of the states also to get the yes vote up. So there's six states. The two territories are not included. So there's the six states. So you've got to have four that vote yes. And they're saying the only ones that will vote yes... potentially,
Victoria
and New South Wales.
Exactly.
All the other states will probably vote no. If that's the case, then the no
wins.
I don't
know whether South Australia, I reckon they'd be swingers.
Don, when the ballot paper comes out, is it going to be yes on top and no at the bottom?
No, I wouldn't have a clue.
Because it should actually
be... The donkey vote, you mean?
Well, it should be 50-50. No on top and yes on the bottom, and yes on top and no on the bottom.
You're saying because the donkey...
Yeah, because they just come in and go 1-2.
That's right.
You know.
I thought there might have been heading to a line there.
Mick,
I was ready for the applause of vote.
So that was I was waiting for the punch too.
No, but that's true because the donkey vote. You just people who couldn't be fucked answering it.
I just told them I just had to vote down in Launceston because the
they should do it in alphabetical order. NY. No. Yes.
And we got sent postal votes to do, and my ballot paper was different from hers. in the order of who you voted for.
Really?
They spin them around.
Jeez.
Get on to the sport, Don, quickly, please.
Well, I've been to two games now. I haven't been for 20-odd years, if not more, to the AFL ordinary home and away games. And it's interesting coming away. I am in great admiration of the footballers today. Their foot skills in passing the ball are sensational.
Yes, but
better than ever. But a couple of observations. The centre circle. Who came up with that idea as far as ruck play? Because all it is catering for is the big, tall blokes who cannot jump. And I thought the circle across the line across the circle, is it... What?
There is something wrong with you. We have discussed this week after week for the last month.
I'm ramming it. I haven't brought up about the line across the
centre. You have.
The centre line, because the players are jumping over the line now.
My God. You brought this up. You brought this up week after week, and I said I was part of the.
You were part of it.
Oh God Almighty! I've told you that plenty of times on here.
Well, why didn't you make the circle bigger?
I was spoken to by Adrian Anderson all those years ago, and he said, "How do you get people to jump up for the ball rather than through the air at the opponent?" I said, "Put a bigger circle out so that they limit the run-up." We've been through this, Don.
Okay, well, you made a mistake because the circle should be bigger than because you're just catering for one type of ruckman.
If you know, if you have a technique, if you have the right technique, which was what it's all this is about. If you have the right technique, the run-up has got nothing to do with it.
So why would the umpire? Could you answer this? Why would the umpire throw the ball up at the centre bounce in
We've
the first quarter?
We've been through that too.
First quarter and then bounce it to the remaining three.
They don't.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Say that again.
He threw the ball up for the first quarter at the centre and then bounced it for the remaining three quarters.
I have no idea. In the circle?
Yes.
Have no idea, Don.
Why does the umpire, I thought, well, in our day, the umpire changed sides from bouncing the ball. He stayed on one side all day.
Yep. Another very good point, Don. I have no idea. This is why if the AFL just got those little things right rather than telling us who to vote for, what to do, when we have these smoking ceremonies, all that bullshit they carry on with, they just ran the game properly and made it consistent and logical about how the game's played, all that would be fantastic.
And if you think
the circle is the wrong thing, let's have a moratorium or a consensus about it, but stop the fucking AFL going into all this other bullshit they carry on with.
Now, again, I was amazed the first time I went about how the game is played in quarter of the ground. Everybody is in a quarter of the ground. How you pick out a good player in today's football is beyond me. I sat there and watched and tried to pick players. Very, very difficult to pick out a good player in the way. It's a great leveller as far as because everybody is in one area. You really cannot get out and show your skills. And could I just give a compliment?
Yes.
I've been to the MCG, as I said, twice. And the staff at the MCG, the superintendents who man the gates, I've got nothing but praise.
Admiration.
They are unbelievably helpful.
Yes.
They have been trained because it is not the Australian way to be as helpful as what they are.
Servicing the public.
The service is sensational. So whoever,
proud to be a member of the MCG.
Is in charge of the supervisors, fantastic. They Peter know Wright. Everything that goes on.
Shout
they'll inquire.
Peter.
Who?
Peter Wright, he was in here.
No,
last...
he's a bloody thing. He takes you around the...
He's a little bit bigger than that.
Yeah, but he goes around the museum. These people man
goes
the gates.
Goes around
the superintendent.
He is a guide.
Peter's gonna love
that. He is a guide. He takes 400 people around.
He might do that, but I'm talking about the ones that work on game day.
Well, they're all trained the same. They're all
well, these people
to be
are professional,
fantastic. Service people in the service industry.
So whoever's in charge of customer service at the MCG,
now,
a
Don,
big slap on your back. Congratulations.
It's easy to say I don't watch football. I don't watch the football, but, of course, you can't help when they come on news service and they put clips of why the game was lost. How bad Melbourne kicked 5:15, didn't they? How bad is the kicking for goal? No one takes any notice of it, and I'll tell you why it's got worse, Don, because there's no designated kickers for goal these days, no recognised full forwards. Everyone has a shot, and they keep drifting the ball out onto the boundary line, and the further they go out, no one's marked, so they end up marking the ball on the boundary line, and of course the shots for goal are as harder the more the angle goes. The kicking for goal is disgraceful. You say they kick the ball well. Well, they don't kick the ball well for goal, Don. They are a disgrace.
What about Mackay? Who's the big forward for Carlton?
No
Mackay.
Idea.
He was in directly in front, or just on a slight angle, and he was about 30 metres out from goal. Do you know he tried to kick it? You know how they kick it around their body?
Yep.
He tried to kick it around his body from nearly directly in front.
Because they
and
choke.
And the thing, he miskicked and it just rolled along the ground.
Because they choke. They have no...
That's unbelievable.
The Essendon, I watched on the highlights of Essendon, did they win or lose?
No, they lost.
They missed such simple set shots for goal. It's a disgrace. And you say they kick better than ever than the...
No, they're foot passing.
Well, what's
the way
that mean?
They picked out guys on Sunday that were surrounded, they hit their teammate who was surrounded by the opposition.
And they kick them out because the opposition are not allowed to get anywhere near them, not allowed to touch them, bump them, do anything, can't touch them at all. So they are actually almost mark unattended.
Well,
because no one's
game
to
very,
touch them.
Very, very good at passing the ball.
Well, Don.
There are so many umpires out there these days, Sam. Do you reckon?
Very good point. Do you know how many I counted in the umpire entourage? The umpire entourage as they walked onto the ground? 16.
Wow.
That is the trainers.
But hang on.
The emergency umpires and the other. There's 16.
The parfum de fumer, the sprayers of the... The sprayers of the deodorant.
You remember the boundary umpires used to get we had two in our day, and they were professional athletes. You know, they'd get the ball and they'd sprint it out to the centre and they'd spin around and run backwards to the position or back out to the boundary line. Do you know now they are crossbred hacks? I could run faster than those boundary umpires bringing the ball. I could walk quicker than what they bring it out. They cannot even run. They're not even athletes.
On that note, Don.
Do you reckon they'll give the umpires a banner to run through soon?
Jeez.
They've got swap cards and things. On that note that they're crossbred hacks, Don, we're going to wind this up and speak to, hopefully, if he turns up, the man from the Swingers Club. So it's been, Mick, it's been exciting. We're pushing the hats. We're going to model them and we're going to hold them up at the when we do the promo here.
Best fun and I've had with my clothes on for a long time, Sam.
Been, you can't bottle this stuff, Mick. If we could fly you over.
Have you got the? I thought you hit. Oh no, you haven't hit the button.
I'm
that was applause
for Mick. Did you hear? Best buddy he's ever had to these clothes on. Oh. And Ivan, well done. You're leaking out the side of your head. I don't know what's going on there, but you've got a big gash on the side of your face. Bite. All right, Don, well done, Mick.
Just before we go, can I give a cheer out to Ian Arzo, the old umpire?
Ian Arzo, I umpired under Ian Arzo. I played
Ian,
under Ian Arzo.
Ian listens to this podcast.
He listens.
Ian Arzo, yeah.
Yeah, he umpired me at Blackburn High School as a schoolboy. We used to have the AFL umpires come out. And then Ian also umpired me when I started playing senior football at Hawthorn.
And he did it all on his own.
Yes,
he did. Good on you,
and
Ian.
He was a good guy too, Ian.
And he drank it all before.
At least
you
could have a bit of a joke with him.
Right, yeah, right. Oh, good on you, Ian. And shout out a bit late, but it's the final thing we've done this today. No, hang on.
No, you're right. Cause you ain't treating me right. Come back again.